It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Go to WisconsinOnDemand.com and find out if I'm true. Jason Wilde is on every show associated with Good Karma. You go to WisconsinOnDemand.com, hit Jason Wilde, and find out if I'm stating, understating, or overstating my point. Right now, it's the Doctor of Football, Brian Bulaga, and Jason Wilde. And I have a first question for both of you. What do you believe is going to happen to Jair Alexander? Unless, Doctor of Football, you prefer to go somewhere else with Jason Wilde. Take it away.
Nope. Jason, we can go here. I'll let Jason take, because he and I kind of spoke about this, but we spoke about it, and I think on his program, and then all the, like, we talked about it, and then that evening it all started to break loose that Ian Rapoport and all those guys started to break the news that he was on the trading block, which I didn't know about that prior when we were on the program. So, like, that was new news to me. So I guess we had talked about it, Jason, but we didn't really know that, or at least I didn't. Maybe you did because of your sources, but I didn't know that. So, like, does that change your mind that maybe people are more interested than what we initially thought when we talked the other day?
Well, first of all, let me just say that Sydney Wilde would be happy to play center for you. I really enjoyed the commercial during the Super Bowl about girls and flag football, because now she would just be biding her time until she won the quarterback job. But being on the field every play, she'd be definitely down with that. I'll give the NFL credit, man, because as the father of two girls that are both really good athletes, who obviously got that from their mother, it's a really
that, hold on, smart... I got to interject there. That's crack. Jason Wilde could have been a professional bowler if he had ever explored that. Take it away, Jason.
Yeah, I might have been a Division III college baseball player and a couple of other things. But the bottom line is she's the one that's the great athlete. But I really like Sydney can throw the football now. Like, we've played catch, and I think the idea of playing flag football and it being a way for girls to play the game and not be Helen Hunt in the classic 1980s film where she's the prom queen and the quarterback in, like, some Canadian school. I love that idea. Now, the idea of trading Jair, look, I actually thought when you came on with us, Brian, I was struggling to push back on old boy Mark Tauscher, because he was like sounding like, well, you know, we thought that Aaron Jones was going to be back and then Goody lowballed him. So maybe we're all thinking that Jair is gone, but he's really going to be back. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And this was before the trade stuff came out. Like, look, if we've learned anything about Brian Gutekunst, he doesn't want old guys. And he doesn't want injured guys. And he doesn't really want difficult guys either. Like, he had no choice but to keep Rodgers because he played at such an elite level and won his third and fourth MVPs back-to-back, and Jordan Love wasn't ready. But I've told this story a bunch. He was ready to take Drew Lock at 12 in 2019. He was ready to move on from Rodgers then. So he doesn't like old guys, he doesn't like difficult guys, and he doesn't like injured guys. And while Jair Alexander isn't old, he just turned 28, I would say the other two things apply to him. So I think he made it very clear in Indianapolis he wants more draft picks. One way to get them is trading players that you have on your roster. And trading Jair, who you don't really want anyway, because you can't count on him, that's one way to add a draft pick. If Jair Alexander had played in 64 of the 68 possible games the last 4 years, he ain't going anywhere. But he's played in 34 of the 68 possible games, and that's why he's not going to be back.
So I guess, Jason, if a trade is possible, and you know, we've heard him say, Goody say that he wants more picks, do you think that it's a possibility that Jair actually gets packaged for a player and
no.
another player? Because no, you don't think that's possible?
No, I think, like, so, you know, I noticed that there was some aggregation of my free story at channel3000.com, but, you know, I talked to or traded text messages with three NFL executives, and they were all over the map. Like, one said he didn't even think they'd get a sixth-round pick for him. Another said he definitely would get, they would get more than that. And then a third said, I would start by asking teams for a third rounder and then settle for a fourth or a fifth. So, again, I don't know what the reality is there, but when three guys who do this for a living, and I don't think any of them are probably interested in Jair Alexander, I would argue that they're not just trying to drive down the price. They're just being honest about what they think, because I've known them all for a while. So the idea that, you know, they can't get anything for Jair, I disagree with that. But I think you probably, the choice that I think they would have to make is, you know, would you take a fifth rounder for him today? Or would you want to do the, hey, we'll take a sixth rounder in 2026, but depending on what he does for you and how much he plays for you, that can escalate to a fifth or a fourth or even a third.
Yes, I want to input here. I heard Jason Wilde say earlier today with Seattle, I think that would be fabulous, some sort of conditional. And I can't go 100%, but I'm sure that he's worth a conditional something, right?
Right, but that means you don't get him. It means you don't get the pick this year. It means you get the pick in 2026. And so, do you want the pick now when you only have seven picks right now, or do you want it next year? I don't know what Goody would be thinking there. And again, the other challenge with this, and this is, I think, Brian, probably part of your thinking, is if I'm another NFL team, I'm thinking, you know what? I don't think they want him on their team anymore. So if nobody trades for him, they're going to cut him. And then he doesn't cost me anything, and I can just sign him. Because they're also not going to play him on his existing contract. His new team will want to rework that contract, probably give him some guaranteed money, but his base is 16 this year and 18 next year. And I would think that they would want to, you know, adjust that and try and get the best out of him. And you know how guys are when they don't have any guaranteed money. We all would love it, right? Fans would love that. Oh, make him earn it. Look at what he's done the last 2 years. Players don't want that. They want certainty. And so I think it's a fascinating case study. The one scenario that I won't go 0% because that's Homer's deal, I just don't see him on this football team. I just don't. And Goody had the chance to say it in a way that leaves the door open for him not being on the team, but sending a clear message that he wanted him. He was asked point blank, will Jair Alexander be on this team this year? And he said, we'll see. And my argument is, you can leave the door open for him to not be on your team and still say that you want him on your team. And he didn't do that. He could have said, look, there's a lot of things we got to work through. You know, I want to go through with the doctors. We got to figure some things out with this contract. But I can tell you this. I want Jair Alexander on this football team if we can make those things work. Because we're a better football team when he's on the field. That's been proven. But he didn't say that.
Yeah, they're just both trying to be positive. They hate each other.
Yep.
Both sides hate each other. Dennis has a question on YouTube. Can the Packers get a better pick if they eat more of his contract?
So none of his, like, there's no existing guaranteed money. So, like, his base salary is all that's left. So, like, whoever trades for him can adjust his base salary. You know, they can negotiate, all right, we're going to guarantee half of it for you or whatever. But the Packers, there's no leftover guarantees. So, like, the team that inherits his contract, yeah, it would be $16 million for his base, but they could also cut him and owe him nothing. So there's no real...
Yeah.
It's not like with Cooper Kupp, who has an $8 million roster bonus due. And it would make him more tradable if the Rams pay that and then trade him. But that's not Jair's case. He has no – the only thing he has are workout bonuses left, and he's got to earn those. Those don't just get paid to him.
Yep. Jason, who do you think, in your opinion, is under more pressure this year? They talked about it on Unsportsmanlike this morning, Evan and Canty and them. Do you think it's LaFleur or Jordan Love? Who do you think is under more heat?
First of all, I think they both are, right? I mean, let's be honest. All of us, myself included, got carried away with the way we viewed what Love did in the final eight games of 2023. And we crowned him prematurely. And so I believe he has a bunch to prove. But I think with LaFleur, you know, so much of Love's success is contingent on how good of a job LaFleur does of putting him in position to succeed, right? Like, and you, Brian, you and I have talked about this before. Like, I just didn't see all these guys roaming the countryside wide open for Love to not necessarily have to be super accurate to get them the football, like they did even a year ago in 2023. Like, you know, I don't know if you remember this at the locker room, but I'll never forget. I'm standing by the wide receiver area because they used to be cordoned off by position. Then LaFleur mixed them up. But it was in 18, and the Rams had played the Vikings on Thursday Night Football. And on Friday, Cobb and Adams and Rodgers, and I was sort of just the uncool guy that was also in the conversation, were all talking about, oh, my God, did you watch the Rams? They scored like 40-some points, and there were guys open everywhere. And I just remember them, and they all love Mike for who he is, and you and I do too. But his offense was predicated on guys winning their one-on-one matchups. And this was an offense where these guys were all like, holy blank, these guys are schemed open. And the biggest indictment that I have for last year, because LaFleur came and he did the same stuff as we saw McVay do at L.A. with that team. And the biggest indictment I felt last season was when I heard LaFleur say that our guys have to win their one-on-one matchup as receivers to get open for Jordan. And I thought, dude, the whole idea of this offense is that you don't have to rely on that because the scheme gets them open. And to me, that was when I thought, all right, LaFleur's got to rework this offense, got to get the play action going again, take advantage of Josh Jacobs and what he brings, and go out there and scheme guys open so Jordan Love has a job that's easier than it was this past season.
To both of you. Yeah. Look, the GM has put way more pressure on LaFleur than his quarterback. That's what GMs do. The pressure is 10 times greater on LaFleur because of how the GM views it, right?
No. First of all, the GM doesn't get to decide LaFleur's future. I don't think Ed Policy is going to change that policy when he takes over. Secondly, I think there's pressure on Goody too, man. Like, They've got, like, he hit, as I said to him, he hit Grand Slam home runs with McKinney and Jacobs. He also elevated the expectation game on him. And he's to blame, too. I mean, he's the one who did not have a veteran offensive lineman who could come in and at least be decent when Elgton Jenkins went out of the playoff game. Like, they could have won that game if they had a veteran lineman who could play just passably in that game. And instead, Telly Monster and Travis Glover weren't good enough. So they all, look, if the GM is going to come out and say after the season, and this was one of my first stories on Channel 3000 this week, if Brian Gutekunst is going to come out and say, hey, we got to ramp up our urgency, it's time for this team to compete for championships, that's not just the players, and that's not just the head coach. The GM's got to ramp up his urgency, too. And I want to see what he does in free agency. I want to see if he goes up and gets a player in the draft that he thinks can tilt the field. Those are all parts of his job, too. I think they are all not on the hot seats, but under the microscope.
Yep. Ooh, under the microscope. We got to get a definition of that. That means...
No, I agree, though. I mean, like, and the thing, the only thing I would say...
Is under the microscope mean that regardless of what happens, they're both back for at least two more years? That's what I would say under the microscope.
Yes. Yep. They're not. Yeah. Their seats are not hot.
Go ahead, Doc, because I want to ask you guys about Harold Landry, if either of you know anything about him, but go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, he's a good pass rusher.
Yeah, he's a good pass rusher.
He's available really good for trade. Pass rusher. Could it be a Xavier McKinney that they're stupid enough that they want to get rid of him because of his contract?
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you, Jason. Could that be a package deal that you get with Jair?
So I don't know. Like, player-for-player deals tend to be the kind of end of, right at the trade deadline type deal, right? Certainly that's a possibility. I would, like, again, I'm not saying Landry is the second coming of Lawrence Taylor.
I'm
not sure with where Jair is that that's enough. Right? Like, and again, the big thing, the one thing that keeps echoing in my brain, whether it's Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson or Myles Garrett or Devontae Adams or whoever it might be, was Goody was pretty passionate about the idea that when you acquire a proven player in a trade, you give up draft capital, you give up the nice, cheap rookie contract that draft pick or draft picks would have been playing on, and then you usually have to pay the guy that you trade for. And he did not sound like someone who was really interested in doing that. And he also pointed out that it hasn't happened. Like, the best example he could come up with of getting a high-profile player where you gave up a premium pick for a veteran was Brett Favre. And Brett Favre doesn't even fit that paradigm because he was a third stringer who was so hung over that he missed the team photo his rookie year.
And only one man was willing to give up a number one for him in the league at that time. Yeah.
Exactly.
Jason, we got to go because we're way late. We're so late, way late is not appropriate, but I don't care because you guys are awesome. Thanks.
Okay. Take care. Be good.
The Doctor of Football and Jason Wilde. And yes, YouTube, we're getting some questions about that as well. And a possible trade. And we'll get more. So Harold Landry, I'm glad you guys, he had some sacks, but they say he played like garbage last year. I don't know how that's possible.
Well, so did the Titans in general.
Yes.
So
that's good. Okay. So they could be, it would be to me stupid, but the Giants were with McKinney. Maybe it could happen again. We'll continue with that next.